please, to the book of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I'm on a strict timetable today, so I've got to behave myself. So if I've got to behave myself, that means you have to behave yourself. So I want none of the normal standing and cheering and clapping and shouting that normally happens in this church when the preacher preaches. I just want you to behave yourself today because I've only got 25 minutes, and so we need to get right into it is what we need to do. It's Father's Day, so congratulations to all the dads in the house. We love you, whoever you are, and whoever your family is, and whatever the circumstances of your life, you're welcome. We embrace you today, and we want to honor you, and we're certainly going to do that in the foyer after we've finished this service today. I want to bring a few thoughts today from one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's a story that teaches us as fathers how to be fathers, and we all need to be taught how to be fathers and how to look after our families. And this is one of the great stories of the Bible that imparts some real truths for us as fathers. I want to honor my dad today, who's in church with us today, my mum and dad. They're from Bundaberg visiting for the weekend. And Dad, I want to say I love you, I honor you, I respect you greatly for who you are, and particularly at this stage and journey of your life with the illness that you're dealing with and the dignity that you live life with and the way you love and serve and honor your family, and for the example that you've been to us continuously. And everything I have to say today is what you've been to me. And I love you. It's good to have you here today. Luke chapter 15, it says this: a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between the two sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all of his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded the local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am, I'm dying in hunger. I will go home to my father and I will say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' And so he returned home to his father, and while he was still," the Bible says, "a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him." This story is told by Jesus in a trilogy. Three stories in Luke chapter 15 that Jesus told to kill off an issue that humanity has been plagued with ever since humanity has been around, and it's the issue of prejudice. He told the story of a lost coin, of a lost sheep, and of a lost son. This is possibly the most favoured story of the three, the story of what we would know it as, called the prodigal son. I want to suggest to you today that this story should be relabeled and retagged, not to be called the prodigal son, but really the prodigal father. The prodigal father. The issue we have is in the understanding of prodigal, that key word, prodigal. What does prodigal actually mean? Prodigal means to live lavishly, liberally, extensively, with an open heart, to even live wastefully, unsparingly, to live bountifully. Now, normally in this story, we focus on that son, known to us as the prodigal son. Today, in this journey, I want us to focus on the father, and we're going to call the father the prodigal father, a father who loved his son and his sons with absolute acceptance, absolute approval, and forgave the younger son in a reckless and extravagant manner. A father who would let no sense of embarrassment and shame and exclusion and failure rule this son out of living as his son. This journey and conversation I want to have with all of us today is to encourage every man in the house and every father in the house to love their children like the Father loves us. To love their children like the Father loves us. The first big point I want to make today is this, is we all have a tendency to downshift when God wants us to upshift. To downshift when God wants us to upshift. The title of my sermon today is Downshift or Upshift. Downshift or Upshift. And the encouragement is upshift, don't downshift. It's our natural human tendency to downshift ourselves when we go through moments and seasons of failure, heartache and pain, just like this son who came home to his father after wasting the inheritance that he had pleaded his father for. It says in verses 21 to 24, it says the son came home and he said, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Here he is downshifting himself. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I've been too bad. I've done things that I'm embarrassed about, I'm ashamed of, and I've brought shame on you and shame on my family. And it says, the father said to him and to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe that's in the house and put it on him, and get a ring for his finger, put some sandals on his feet, and kill the calf that we've been fattening, because we must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, and now he has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So let the party begin, is what the father says. You know, this father in the story that Jesus told, you've got to love his heart for his son. Here's his son downshifting himself, coming home and saying, hey dad, I've been so bad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, I can't carry the family name anymore, can I just come home and work for you, can I just come home and be a servant, can I come home and be a slave, because being that is better than what I've had living out in the world after I've lost all my money and lost all my friends, I've got nowhere to go, I've got nothing to show for what you've given to me, can I just come home and live in the shed and be a slave for you. He felt a failure. We all know what it's like to feel a failure. We all relate to this son. We all know what it's like to mess up our life. We all know what it's like to fail. We all know what it's like to not live up to the expectations and the hope that family have for us. And he doesn't deserve, and he knows he doesn't deserve, the position of sonship in his father's house anymore. It's a natural response. We all do it to ourselves when we go through our moment, when we go through our season, when we go through our hurt and our pain and our failure. He was preparing himself to settle for a whole lot less than his father ever dreamt of for him. And every son and every daughter in the house has done that at some stage in their life. The message I want you to hear today is this, is don't downshift yourself. Don't downshift yourself, even though it's a natural tendency, thinking that you're no longer worthy to be called your father's son. The second thing I want to say today is this, if I can find it on the right screen. God. Give him control of the screens, they said. He'll be good at it, they said. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dale. Rescue me. Give Mr. Dale a big hand. Good on you, Mr. Dale. One click, he said. I think I clicked it 10 times. God upshifts us from all downshifts, is what God does. God upshifts us from all downshifts, which is my third point. My second point is, others have a tendency to downshift what God wants to upshift in us. Others have a tendency to downshift what God wants to upshift in us. In the Bible, in the story, it says, when he came home, it says, meanwhile, the older son, while he was in the fields working, when he returned home, he heard music and he heard dancing in the house. He heard the party. And so he asked one of the servants, hey, what's going on? And the servant said, your brother's back. Your brother's back. And your father's killed the fattened calf. And we're celebrating because of his safe return. And the older brother was angry. And he wouldn't go in. And so the father came out. That's what fathers do. The son wouldn't come in. And so the father came out and he begged him. And he replied, the son replied, he said, all these years, Dad, I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you've never given me one young goat to feast with my friends. Not once. Yet when this son of yours, not my brother, when this son of yours, not, Not my brother, Dad. Your son. When this son comes back after squandering all of your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. And his father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed by my side, and everything I have is yours, and we had to celebrate this happy day. For your brother was dead and lost, but he's come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Can you notice in the story how the older son wanted to downshift the younger son? Because he thought, Dad, this is unjust. He doesn't deserve it. He's been a ratbag, Dad. He shamed the family name. He shamed you. He shamed me. He shamed Mum. He shamed our name in the village. And now he comes back and you put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and you call him your son again, and you kill the fattened calf, and you throw him a party. You've never done anything like that for me. See, Dad was being what dads are. The dad was being lavish, he was being reckless, and he was being extravagant, despite the fact the family had been shamed, despite the fact that the name of the family in the village would never be the same again. Dad comes out and says, you're still my son. Here's my robe, here's my ring, here's my sandals, here's a party. All I want to do is celebrate the fact that you are back in my house. But the older son pointed a finger and said, he doesn't deserve it. It's not fair. What about me? It isn't fair. I want my share. That's what he's saying. I want my party, Dad. Where's my party? I've been with you all this time. And the father said, of course, well, you've been here all this time, and everything I have, son, has been yours. But our son who was lost, our son who was dead, is now back. And he's now found, and we have to celebrate. You know, I think we all have a tendency to downshift ourselves when life goes through those moments and seasons of heartache and pain. And not only do we, but others do also. Others want to downshift us. Others want to label us. Others want to put us in a certain posture, in a certain position, where we would accept much less from life than what our Father ever intended us to have and to be. I want to say to every person in the room today, whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your story is, whatever your history is, whatever your season of life is right now, God loves you. He just loves you. He's reckless in his love towards us. He is totally reckless. His love knows no limits. It's extravagant. It's a love that never ceases. It just continues. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. It keeps coming towards us. Even when we're undeserving, and we are always undeserving of his love embraces us. He is a recklessly extravagant, accepting, loving, and forgiving God. He does the opposite of what others expect. He stands with us when others walk out. That's the kind of Father that our Heavenly Father is. It says here in this story that the father saw his son returning to the farm even when the son was a long way off, implying that the father stood and waited and looked and longed for the return of his son. Can I say to you today that the heart of heaven, our Heavenly Father, this prodigal Heavenly Father that we have, it's like he stands and he looks and he wonders and he longs and he prays and he hopes and he wishes for that moment and that day that you'd come walking down that road towards his house and towards his home. Because at the end of the day, all the Father wants, all the heart of the Father wants for every son and every daughter and every member of his family is to come home. And all he wants is to have you in his house. That's all he wants. That's what the Father wants, because he's a reckless, prodigal Father who will do anything to have you in the house and celebrate and put a robe on your back, a ring on your finger, sandals on your feet, and kill the fattened calf. And guess who the fattened calf in the story is? Jesus. Jesus is telling a story about himself, crucified on the cross of Calvary, so that every son and every daughter could come back to the heart of the Father, the home of the Father, and be celebrated with the Father as their sons again. None of us deserve it. None of us deserve the grace. None of us deserve the mercy. We all deserve the judgment, is what the Bible says. But the beautiful thing about the heart of the Father and his love and his mercy and his grace for us is this, is that his mercy triumphs over judgment. His mercy triumphs over judgment. The other son wanted to bring the judgment of God. All the Father brought was the grace and the mercy. The grace and the mercy. I don't know whether as a son you've ever stood in the presence of grace and mercy like that. I don't know whether you've ever stood in that place and in that posture and in that position. But there is nothing more empowering There is nothing that gives life more to the heart of a human being to stand in the presence of somebody that would give that grace and somebody that would give that mercy and help you triumph over judgment. God just loves the fact that you're in his house today, no matter how you feel. You might have just made it here today on Father's Day. You might think, well, happy Father's Day for everybody else. And it may not be a good day for you. Can I say to you, God, your Father in heaven, loves you more than you love yourself right now. He loves you more than the circumstances of life are telling you that you're loved. Because God the Father, what he does is he upshifts us. He upshifts us from all the downshifts that happen in life. He upshifts us when we're down on ourselves. He upshifts us when others are down on us. You see, this prodigal son, he defined himself by his circumstances and by his choices. And he saw himself as a failure. He saw his future as being destroyed. He disgraced the family and the family name. And he was beginning to define himself by these circumstances. And so he says to himself, I'll go home. Even in my father's house, even the servants get to eat better than what I'm eating. I'll just go home. And I don't want to be a son. I'm not asking that. I just want to come and be a slave because I'm flawed. I'm flawed. You know, the truth is every person in this room is flawed. We're all flawed. We're all flawed by life. We're all flawed by sin. We're all flawed by separation from God. And the only thing that heals our flawedness, our sense of failure in life, is the love of a father and the heart of a father who is reckless in his love and his acceptance and his approval of us. So the fact of the matter is, God's just happy you're in his house. God's just happy that you're in his home and that you're in his family. You may not feel perfect. You may not have a perfect story today, and your heart might even be a bit low today, and you might be downshifting yourself today. Can I ask you to allow God to upshift you, to upshift you to a new status and a new level in life? We know what status updates are. We're all social media savvy. Some of you are doing it right now, updating your status, checking in at church on Father's Day, and letting the world know who you are, what you're doing, who you're with, and the party that you're at. We know what social updates are in terms of our status. Can you update the status of life for yourself and of what you're hoping and believing for to the level of what God sees in you, that he calls you son, and he's happy to put the robe on your back and the ring on your finger and the sandals on your feet and kill the fattened calf and say, I love you. I love you, and you deserve everything that I'm about to give you simply because you are my son. You see, when we define ourselves by the experiences and circumstances of life, we downshift ourselves and we settle for much less than what God ever intended. We settle for much less than what God ever intended. The truth is today, God wants to upshift you. This Father's Day, for every dad in the house, God wants to upshift you. You're a better father than you think you are. You're a better father than you think you are. You're a better father than you think you are. Just keep fathering. Just keep loving your children like the father in this story. Children deserve to be loved recklessly. Children deserve to be loved extravagantly. Children deserve to be loved with no boundary. Children deserve to be loved at the absolute expense of the father of the house. Children will cost you everything you are and everything you have. I can tell you from experience, they will cost you everything you are and everything you have. And they never cease to be your children. Even though they're adults, they're still a child. Jared. Child. 6'4" child. My youngest child. Rebecca. Child. My middle girl. Danielle. Child. They never cease to be your children. George, dad, child. We're all somebody's child. Is that a song? Sounds like a country western song to me. you see that fall? God defines us by his promise and his purpose for us, not by our problems. God's heart for us today is simply to understand this. He loves you. You're fantastic. You're a champion. He's got an amazing future for you. His grace is sufficient for you. And you're made whole through his holiness and the love that he has for you. And we all belong in his home and his family today. And the status of his name you absolutely deserve. Every prodigal son in the house, every prodigal daughter in the house, when we come to our senses and we turn our hearts towards home, we experience the love and the nature of this prodigal father that loves us with open arms and embraces everything about us, who loves, accepts and forgives and endorses and approves. He can't help himself. He's reckless. He can't hold his love back. He can't hold his excitement back. He's just so enthusiastic for you. He can't help himself because it's not actually about you. It's about him. It's who he is. And so for every father in the room, can I say today, don't ever make it about your child and what your child has to do and what your child has to become. Just let your child be a child. Let your child live their life. Let the child explore their life. Be a father that will love them regardless. Be a child that a father that will embrace them regardless of what they go through, regardless of what they do. Never cease being a father like this father here that Jesus talks to us about. No matter how messy life is for you or for them, no matter how dysfunctional life might be, no matter what they may do to life, be there looking, longing, arms open, loving extravagantly, without bounds, without limit, without conditions, the children and the people that God brings into your world, and celebrate them, celebrate them, celebrate them. I want to say to you that today from the heart of a pastor. And sometimes it's not easy for a pastor and a pastor's family and a pastor's children, because everyone thinks because you're a pastor, you're perfect, and almost, and then your children are doubly perfect. And my children are not perfect, they are perfect. Doesn't make sense, but it does to me. They're not perfect in the eyes of some, but in my eyes they are perfect. And I've always stood very protectively about my children in terms of their life and their journey and their walk and who they are in the churches that I have pastored. And I've never allowed the church to invade the privacy of my home in regards to my children demanding what they will be, because I've always wanted to just love them regardless of who they are. Why? Because they're my sons and they're my daughters. And that's how we should love our children, no matter how they journey in and through life. So to every father in the house today, happy Father's Day. And to have many more happy Father's Day, be that father. Be that one that will sacrifice anything and everything just to have your children back in the house. What a good, good father we have. Can I have our team come to stage today? What a good, good father we have. There is no greater lesson on what it is to be a father and how to be a father than that story in the Bible about being the father that forgives, being the father that restores, being the father that embraces everybody through every journey of life. Would you stand with me today? Before we go and celebrate with some hospitality this morning, before we go and have our man food out in the man jungle, in the foyer, we're going to sing a song, is what we're going to do, and we're going to worship God as we sing this song, Good, Good Father. I need a microphone, somebody. Good, Good Father. Take it away, team.